You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 11th of June. The Jazz go up 2-0 with great resiliency. We'll look at some key plays. The incredible play of Donovan Mitchell. Rudy doing Rudy things. The Jazz focus and why the way we won game two is not sustainable for the series. It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky numbers, and hopefully making it way better to be a Jazz fan each and every day. Today's episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra. At only 2.6 carbs and 95 calories, it's only worth it if you enjoy it. Stay tuned for the Ultra Moment segment coming up later in the episode. So what time did you get to bed last night? 2:30 here. Wow, could not get to bed. Had the vital decision at like 1:30 of whether it was like fish food out of the carton or just uncooked cookie dough. And so that was like really difficult to decide. And then that kept me up for another hour, the lead in the bottom of my stomach. All right, let's talk about this one. What a great win. Up 2-0 in the series. They've got to beat us 4 out of 5. The Phoenix Suns and the Utah Jazz are both looking as though they're the best teams in the Western Conference, like they have been all season long. Just really a performance of a fabulous team. I have not gotten a chance to rewatch the game yet. I don't know. I might do, if I get the game rewatched, I might do a late night or early morning rewatch podcast just to have it out for you for Saturday for a special edition. I don't promise that, but I do love the rewatch, and then I do love kind of sharing what I saw. Hopefully it increases your Jazz experience. We kind of nailed last night, so that I'm definitely motivated right now to do another one because I got last night right. So that always makes you feel good, and then I do feel comfortable that if you listen to Thursday's podcast, you had a much better experience watching Friday's game. And that's the whole reason we do this. All right, that was just a really impressive performance in the sense of like what good teams do. I mean, you lose, you're up 21. They are playing for their lives. They fight back. I actually think the whole series comes down to when they're fully engaged defensively and playing their game, we have a hard time. They're so long. They're so physical. They're so skilled. When they're fully engaged offensively, we have a hard time because they're just so talented. But it's not naturally what they do to engage for that period of time. It is what we do. And so you lose that lead. That's not stunning. That happens. And then they take the lead for a one possession of the entire game. And then the resiliency of this Jazz team and the fight shows, right? So the Jazz lost the lead for a single possession and 11 seconds of the game. And then they came down and hit a shot, and then Joe Ingles buried a three, and the Jazz went on a 12-2 run after the Clippers made their way back to tying the game. That's pretty awesome. That's the sign of a really, really great basketball team. Game ties at 101 with 6:26 left. Actually, the Clippers lead at 101-99 on another Reggie Jackson basket. And Joe Ingles comes out and scoop, there it is, layup. Bogdanovich buries a three. We're back up three. It gets to one. Gobert dunks, plus the foul. O'Neal hits a three from the right corner. Joe makes another huge shot. How about Joe Ingles last night? He was outstanding. And the Jazz are up 10 with 3 minutes left, and we're virtually done. The other time I think that the Jazz did this was Donovan Mitchell to open the basketball game. We knew the Clippers had forced one turnover in the second half of that game the other night. We knew, and we talked about this on yesterday's pod, they were going to come out firing. They changed their starting lineup. They came out big. They were going to come out physically. Joe hits a layup on the first play of the game. Quinn pre-orchestrates the first play. There's always a purpose for it. It was to get Joe engaged. He got Joe engaged. Joe made the play. And then Donovan proceeds to score the next 10 points, and it's 12-4. And they worked their way back, right? It's a 6-point game here pretty shortly thereafter. Then it's a 3-point game. Then it's a 2-point game. Like, they worked their way back. They weren't going to, like, roll over and die. This is the second best differential team in the NBA. This has got two guys who've got multiple All-Stars. Their entire franchises, you know, kind of how it's viewed is riding on the series now. I mean, we're going to get a hell of a shot in game three because obviously when it's over, they've been there before, but they also, like, Kawhi Leonard and Paul George came here to win a championship and they're on the verge of a second round outage for the second straight year against a team that they don't think they should lose to. Like, this is, we're going to see something massive. But Donovan's opening quarter is just amazing leadership. I don't really have an understanding of what we're watching with Donovan right now. I don't know to what heights you're willing to go with it. You know, we've won 6 straight games with Donovan Mitchell on the floor. He's averaging over 30 points a game. The only two players to do that in NBA history are Kobe Bryant and LeBron James. Scoring is up, so you kind of look at those. But, I mean, I think we're in that rarefied air. Like, I'm not saying he's Kobe, but maybe he is. He's just one of the most special kids I've ever been around in my entire life. Is he Dwayne Wade, who at 24 years old, at a very similar stage in his career, an older player entering the league at 22, very similar to Donovan, willed his team to a championship in his, what I believe was his third season in the NBA. The only other player you can find kind of at this point in his career doing these kind of things, frankly, is Dwayne Wade's third year of the league when at 24 years old, they beat Chicago 4-2 in their opening series. They blast the Nets. He averages like 28. They get to the Eastern Conference Finals and surpass that Detroit team, and he has a 27-point series. And then he goes bananas against Dallas in the NBA Finals, averaging 35 points, 8 rebounds, and 4 assists, and forever becomes a different player. That Eastern Conference Finals against Detroit, by the way, he shot 62%. That is the comp. That may be what we're watching right now, is Dwayne Wade in his third year in the league becoming, you know, what was a 13-time All-Star, scoring champion of the league, 8-time All-NBA. Like, those numbers all seem very reasonable to me, and I hope the 3-time champion number is realistic as well, just with the same team, the way Dwayne was. I mean, that, I think that's what we're watching with Donovan. It is astronomical. He has control of the game. He has the will of the game. He's the best player on the floor in these two games. He's been the best player on the floor, frankly, in every game he's played in this series. He's just dynamite. The other aspect of him is he has it. I've told the story multiple times. I'll tell it again. He just lifts everyone up around him. I've joked with him. He takes a pay cut by being in the NBA because he could be the CEO of Goldman Sachs. But maybe for more importantly for us, rather than the sarcasm, is if you go back to the days when the Jazz do OTAs, which is before the season starts, the guys can come into town and they can play. Like, the college pickup games are done. And I would tell you, I used to go to all of those when we could pre-COVID. You're jonesing for hoops and there's guys playing hoops, so you go watch. And the first week is usually all the rookies and the camp invites. And then the next week kind of stroll in the veterans. And I'll never forget the first day Donovan arrived one year. I think it might have been off an Olympic or a world championship year, so he was a little later. The day he just arrived, he didn't actually play that day. The energy level of the building was just lifted. His presence changes everyone around him. And that's what you're seeing right now is Kirby Puckett World Series, jump on my back, I got this one, guys, type stuff, where he opened that game up last night and basically said, I got you. I got you taken care of. Here we go. He's just remarkable, and he's reading the game and he's doing it against every defense. But his most impressive plays of the entire game, and credit Mike Wells in our halftime interview. Mike Wells in our halftime interview said to us that they are going to come out and double team Donovan. And I think the two best plays Donovan made all night were the first two plays of the second half. They come out double teaming, which is just desperation. The Clippers' moves in the third quarter were pure desperation. And the first desperation move was the double teaming at 30 feet, which just doesn't work in the NBA. And Donovan hits Rudy Gobert for a dunk and then an incredible skip pass to Bojan Bogdanovic for an open three. And then the Jazz are up 20. Then they drop the big on the next one, trying to fake the double team. And he rises for three and hits the pull up three. It was a three play sequence. It was a masterpiece. He's incredible right now. The next move they made was the zone. It worked. It was the equivalent of pulling the fire alarm because you didn't want to take a math test. I mean, honestly, I get it. It worked. It's not a sustainable thing. The zone is played 3% of the time in the NBA for a reason. Truly, Tyronn Lue was at panic level with those decisions because of how great Donovan Mitchell has been in this series. Just amazing. Today's show is brought to you by my friends over at, by the way, coming up, we'll talk about Rudy, the supporting cast, Jazz Focus, and why we can't win like this. This was an unsustainable win. We stole one, and we should be pretty excited about that. We deserve it because the guys are playing great, and that's actually what happens. But this is not the method by which we can win future games. So I'll explain that as well coming up. Today's show is brought to you by my friends over at Murdoch Hyundai, located at 4646 South State Street, over in Logan and Linden. Andrew Wilson's listening right now. I saw him at the game last night. He's like, well, you're going to finally set me up. Yes, I'll set you up, Andrew. My bad. I missed an email. So first off, if you're going to head over to Murdoch and you're going to take a minute and send me an email at dlock09@gmail.com, we'll set you up with a VIP meeting first. Second, I'm driving the Elantra right now. I love it. Usually I turn my cars back in at 3,500 miles, but there's some inventory shortage, so probably should jump on getting one right now. And Blake said to me, do you mind driving any further? I was like, let's see. What would I mind about this? It drives great. It gets 40 miles to the gallon with gas getting expensive. It's got every bell and every whistle. It's a perfectly smooth drive. It self-drives, has every safety feature. No, I don't mind, Blake. We're good. That doesn't bother me at all. So that... So I'm still with the Elantra. It's great. And just been blown away by it. The Sonata is the other sedan. That one's souped up a little bit more. The one I'm driving is about a $26,000 car, and it's just amazing. Plus, then you've got the Tucson, the Santa Fe, the little Kona, and the beautiful Palisade, all set up at Murdoch Hyundai, 4646 South State Street in Logan and in Linden as well as in Salt Lake. So make sure you take a moment and email me first and we'll set you up. My ultra moment of the game brought to you by Michelob. Joy, happiness, success, 2.6 carbs, 95 calories. It's only worth it if you enjoy it. My Michelob ultra moment of the game. Joe Ingles being left wide open on the right side of the floor for a three and he buries it. What a great end of the game by Joe Ingles last night. And that enjoyment isn't the end game, it's the whole game, and it was pure happiness to see Joe Ingles bust out and play the way he can. Joy of the Jazz fans going crazy. Joy creates success, and it's all brought to you by Michelob Ultra with your hashtag Ultra Moment. Your Michelob Ultra moment of the game. If you've got another one you want to give me, feel free. Ultra Moment is an ongoing promotional tag by Michelob Ultra, so feel free to throw out your ultra moment of the game to me with the hashtag ultra moment on it. It's 2.6 carbs. It's 95 calories. It's only worth it if you enjoy it. It's Michelob Ultra. All right, Rudy Gobert was incredible. This is why you win playoff games, people, because your best players are amazing. The defensive rating last night with Rudy Gobert on the floor was a 93, I believe. Yeah, that's craziness. Let's see, 97.3. The Clippers averaged a 116.7 in the regular season. And he is just bending the shot chart. Just absolutely bending the shot chart. I've got to figure out how to show this to you. I don't, the program that I regularly use to do kind of impact writing, I'm not entirely sure whether it shows. I think I might have a mechanism here I might have just discovered, but honestly, what you are literally watching Rudy Gobert make plays, and the impact of it is like the best way I could describe it is that on almost every play, the 2 foot shot becomes the 8 foot shot. And that to me is what jumps out more than anything else. So far in the two games, when Rudy Gobert is on the floor, the Clippers offense is a 103.6. And when he's off the floor, it's a 145.3. Rudy Gobert is just completely like dominating this game. The Clippers are shooting inside 5 feet when Gobert is on the floor, 58%. From five to, let me see if I can make one change. Okay. From 5 to 9 feet when Gobert is on the floor, they're 27%. Their three-point shooting is way down when he's on the floor as well. Their shooting in the restricted area is at 59%. Their paint non-restricted area is at 28% when Rudy's on the floor. It's at 64% when he's off. Their mid-range shooting is at 44%. It's 60% when he's off. Their above-the-break three-point shooting is at 33% and 53% when he's off. That is probably not sustainable, but it has to do a little bit with guys being able to defend differently. The impact that Rudy is having is just truly remarkable right now in this series, and where shots are coming from and what they're doing. It would, and you can just see it. Like, we can start breaking down, the next step of that is breaking down the percentage of shots, but the Clippers with Rudy Gobert on the floor in the series are shooting 39.7% when Rudy's on the floor and 32% from three, and being outscored by 10 points per game. It's pretty incredible. The two-footer is becoming an eight-footer. The way the Jazz are winning, though, is stars are playing and the supporting cast is coming. Bojan continues to be amazing, defending Kawhi Leonard in almost a manner that seems unlikely. Kawhi Leonard was guarded by Bojan Bogdanovic last night for 18 possessions. He scored 2 points. Royce O'Neal is fearless and makes the shot of the night on the Rolls-Royce corner three that we had to have, and he came through and made the play in a masterful manner. Joe Ingles, we talked about earlier, was just great. And then Jordan Clarkson carried us in the first half, which we have to have when you're having, when Mike Conley's up. Jordan Clarkson's got to give us that offensive boost. Great, great performance by the guys. We shot lights out. 55% for the field, 51% from three, but it's the commitment and focus that we have on every possession, to me, is what's separating the Jazz right now. There's just an incredible focus and intention on every possession that they play, and when I watch the Clippers, that's not who they are. They're so good, they're so talented. They have been able to play throughout the regular season where they just kind of turn it on when they want to. And I think this is similar to Phoenix. I think they play, and this is probably why it's so hard for us against Phoenix, they play the exact same way, where they play with an intention on every possession. And we're doing the same thing. And there's two huge plays in this series, one of which is George Niang in the first game getting left wide open for three. And three Clipper players pointing up, but none of them go to him. Same thing happens with Joe Ingles last night on our ultra moment of the game. Three guys pointed him, none of them go at him. And if you actually, if you really break down that play and go rewatch it, because I did this last night, it's pretty incredible to watch the whole play. Patrick Beverley walks up the floor. Reggie Jackson, in Jerry Sloan's words, would probably say lollygags up the floor. Therefore, guys are kind of miscouched against who they're going to guard where and how they're going to get there. And it ends up leading with Joe Ingles being wide open and no one really coming to him to defend him. I mean, here I just pulled up the play and I'll watch it again. So there's 3:13 left. When Joe gets the ball, he's coming up the front court, 3:14 left. He's got the ball at the hash mark in the backcourt. Patrick Beverley is on the far side just walking up the court. He's literally walking. He now goes into a subtle, slight jog. Donovan Mitchell, Joe's on the near sideline. Bogdanovich and Donovan are coming up. Royce has sprinted the floor and is running to the corner. He takes Marcus Morris with him. Rudy sprinted the floor and has probably Paul George with him down low. Bogdanovich is going to the far side. Reggie Jackson points for someone to go guard Bogdanovich, which I assume is going to be Kawhi. Reggie Jackson is the one who should have picked up Joe Ingles, but he runs right by him and goes to Donovan Mitchell. Patrick Beverley still kind of jogging back into the play is behind Donovan. Frankly, if Beverley had sprinted the floor and been on Donovan, Jackson just goes to Joe. So it's like multiple little things here that make mistakes. And Joe just literally walks into the three with Reggie Jackson's back turned to him. Joe's now free throw line extended right side. Donovan's up at the logo. Reggie Jackson's up at the very top of the, by the logo. And Patrick Beverley hasn't made it back in the play yet. And Joe buries it and the game's over. It's an incredible shot. Absolutely remarkable, remarkable shot. And shot of like where these two teams are. There are three other plays that I think are, you know, the key to this game and probably also where what we just, how we won that game is probably not sustainable. And we'll get to that. One other note on the Clippers. They played two lineups at least last night, if not three, that had never played together. What Ty Lue is doing worked in the last series. It's, to me, it's bizarre. The idea that Luke Kennard played as much as he did last night and then he gets a minute 20 stint in the third period and then comes back in to kind of close the game when it's over but doesn't play. That Terrence Mann snuck out a 1:07 thing. It seems fine. DeMarcus Cousins plays and doesn't play the second half. It's just kind of out there. Paul George never checking out certainly makes an impact on that, and I'm not sure I would check out Paul George either. Easy 2020 hindsight on my part. I didn't think they should have started the small lineup in game one. It's not who they were. It wasn't what we've talked about, their lack of possessions all year. But then again, they start the big lineup. The Jazz going to 8-0 run in the first quarter and 10-0 run in the third quarter. So in that sense, it feels like there's a level of desperation going on for the Clippers here of just like, you know, as I said, pulling the fire alarm because you don't want to take the math test. On the other end, there's some reasons why that win is not... there's other ways for us to win. That's not the way we're going to win this series. I'll explain that as we continue here on the show. Today's show is brought to you by Built Bar. Oh, I got... Thank you to Mike Chase and Adam Chase. I got my little Built Bar cooler after making the comment. And Ron Barr got his Grip 6 belts yesterday, so everybody's happy. 100% real chocolate, 100% delicious, and right now you get a free Built Bar travel cooler with every bar purchase. 9 great flavors, coconut almond, mint brownie, salted caramel, raspberry, peanut butter brownie, coconut, double chocolate, cookies and cream, and cherry barcia. You can decide I don't want to choose and get an 18-bar mix box with 2 of each flavor, or you can build your own box, mixing and matching 3 of the flavors. I would probably go mint brownie, coconut, and actually the raspberry is pretty darn good. It's all at, plus you get your travel cooler, which is like a $15 purchase, for free. It's 130 calories, it's 2.5 fat grams, 4 net carbs, 4 sugars, and 17 grams of protein. It's Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code Locked On, and you get a 15% off. That's locked 15 is the line. All right, let's check the NBA lines for tonight at betonline.ag. The Philadelphia 76ers are a 1-point favorite over the Atlanta Hawks. The Denver Nuggets are a 1.5-point favorite over the Phoenix Suns. The Los Angeles Clippers are a 4-point favorite over the Utah Jazz tomorrow with a 6:35 start, I think, our time. And the Brooklyn Nets are a one-point favorite over Milwaukee, so they expect some good games. The most likely NBA Finals is now back to Brooklyn versus Utah at plus 135. That'd be awesome. Brooklyn versus Phoenix is the second most likely. Phoenix versus Utah, or Philadelphia versus Utah, is the third most likely. Milwaukee versus Utah is the fourth most likely. I like those odds. I'll take those. We can cash it in right now. Jazz are minus 165 now to win the West. Phoenix is plus 210. Clippers are plus 650. And Denver is plus 330. Atlanta, interesting, is a really wild card still. Brooklyn's minus 210, Philadelphia plus 400 bucks plus 425. I love those lines. I'll take those in our series. We're minus 415 to now win the series. The Sixers are still the most likely to be upset at minus 205. The Suns are minus 775, most likely to advance. And the Nets are minus 370 and we're minus 415. That's all at betonline.ag. Use the promo code LOCKED and you get a 50% welcome bonus. All right, so there's a few reasons that last night's not sustainable. One is we got hot. Like, we had the hot shooting night. We take enough threes. We do a bunch of stuff. That was our outlier shooting night. We shot 55% from the field, 51% from three. I think if we went and looked at some of the second spectrum data, which talks about QSQ and QSI, QSI being kind of what the percentage you shot over your norm, I think that's like would probably be our, like, one of our best shooting nights of the entire year. We have to be close to 20% above what we were supposed to shoot in that game of our effective field goal percentage. I love that 51% of our shot attempts are threes. I think that puts us in a position to have that type of shooting night. So there are things we're doing right to get that. We only had 12 shots at the rim last night, which is a little disconcerting. Like, we'd like to move that number up more to 30-35% rather than 12 of 76. That's a pretty low number. We only had five corner threes and we didn't have very many catch and shoot threes. So we really defied a lot of what you would call logic, basketball logic, to get that. Our catch and shoot numbers, we only took 13 catch and shoots in the game. On a regular night, we would take 26. So the first reason is I actually don't think we're getting great shots. I actually don't think our shot quality is nearly as good as what it was in the regular season. In fact, I think their shot quality is probably better than ours, which is something that almost never happens. Our effective field goal percentage was at 68%. That's almost impossible for us to maintain. The other one is they were in a team that does not like to play in transition. That's not their natural thing, to go play in transition at that level. And they were in transition a ton last night. Like, 20% of their possessions were in transition. They do not do that. That's not good. Now, the fact that they got 20% of their possessions in transition and lost because we shot the out of the ball is a great sign for us. But we can't win games, or we shouldn't be able to win games. We just did. When they're in 20% of their possessions are in transition. The other thing is we weren't in transition at all. We played a half-court game all night long. We only had 5% of our possessions in transition. And, you know, one of the things we try to do is take transition threes. I can only think of one of them the entire game when Bojan Bogdanović hits the three on the left side. Now, we're doing some things that are great. Like, our one-on-one isolation game when we're getting matchups is fabulous. Our pick-and-roll game has been virtually unstoppable. So, you know, we shot it and had an unbelievable half-court offensive game, and that led us to the win. And the amount of three-point attempts we took are really, really good and give us a chance to get that win. But my concern is that we can't have them be in transition that much more than us. I think they had 14 to 18 transition opportunities, and we had like three. Like, that's not going to work. We can't rely on an outlier shooting performance like we just got to win us two more games. You know, the concept of how I believe we could go to the NBA Finals this year is that we play these teams like the Lakers or the Clippers, and we shoot the beep out of it for one or two games of the series, and then we win the others. Well, we just did that. Like, this is the script. There's nothing, like, this is the script we've built and how we're going to win games is that, you know, hey, once in seven games, we shoot the out of it. Well, we just did. So there it is. Now we go better, win two more games in a different fashion than we just did. And there are a bunch, you know, hey, we just talked about it. The Clippers are searching all over the place for what their lineup combinations are. It's not their natural culture to play all 96 possessions at peak level that they probably have to play in this series. We'll probably see them come about as close to it as possible. Our mathematical advantage by taking, you know, the amount of threes that we're taking is really good, though. Frankly, if they take nine more rim shots, it goes away a tiny bit. That's why, you know, my quick scan of the shot charts with them taking nine more rim shots than us and us taking nine more threes than them, I'm going to guess that their shot quality actually was better than ours in this game. We, by the way, one other thing, I think we had like one or two offensive rebounds the whole game. Like, that's a part of who we are, is the offensive rebounding game. They did a fabulous job of taking that away. So you can look at this however you want. Like, the fact that we won a game where they were in transition 20% of the time, the fact that we won a game where we only had 6% of our offensive rebounding rate, the fact that we won a game where we were not in transition at all, where we did not hit transition threes, is incredible. And the incredible part about it is we probably had our best shooting night of the year. So that is outstanding. And our offense is thriving. And Rudy Gobert's defense was astronomical. So it all comes together, but that's not okay. That's how we got a win, exactly how I'd suspect we'd get a win in a series that we were going to win, and how we have to do it. But now we can't plan on that as the mechanism by which we get wins three and four in the series, is what I'm saying. All right, that is Locked On Jazz. I will watch on the plane to LA. Thanks again to the Utah Jazz organization. So incredibly thankful that we get to go on the road, do our job correctly, be on the road, doing what we're supposed to do, bring you the best quality we can. Thanks to all of you that are part of the Rot Gang, radio over TV, where you're listening to the radio while watching the TV. So that's what we're calling it, the Rot Gang. And thanks so much to the Rot Gang for tuning in and your support. Jazz up 2-0. You got to love it. Enjoy it. Oh, wait. I just kind of used Hot Rod. I'll wait and see if we win a title and use it then. Absolutely fired up with you. Hope you have a great day. And we'll be back at it from the Staples Center on Saturday. Have a good one.